Well, hello once again out there, folks, in radio and virtual listening land. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Pleased to present my microphone mate, brother in broadcasting, partner in crime, and guy that I giggle with from time to time, most importantly, Dr. Ronald L. Fineman, live from his domicile in always tropical southeastern Florida. And how are you today, Ron, in this latter part of the month of August?
I'm doing fine. As always, I'm hot. That's a double meaning.
Well, that's good. Well, yeah, hot could be many different things. Some people might say Melania Trump is hot. I would be one of them. Some people might say that her husband is in big trouble. Of course, we're going to discuss that like we always do on this program. But yes. Be it as it may, the political climate right now continues to be, out of a lack of a better term, tenuous, maybe a more direct term, crazy, wacko might even
very
be.
Very divisive.
Yeah,
might very be. Very divisive, yeah.
Very divisive, and good fodder, though, for radio talk shows. I must say it's a good time to be in the talk show business, because if you can't find something to talk about that's politically related, you are obviously living in a cave somewhere, because every time you blink your eye, something new and exciting comes to pass. Now, Dr. Ron Fineman's been on the air with us 6, 7, 8, 9 years. I've lost track. Hundreds and hundreds of times with me, with Scott, with Glenn, and sometimes he's even on national television programs, and people even ask for his autograph. The only time anybody asks for my autograph is a police officer. Well, that's not happened in many, many years. Maybe a restaurant when they find out how much I'm going to tip. And anybody else who, for some reason, thinks I'm a multi-trillionaire, of course, those people would be mistaken. But Ron is so famous and important, people ask for his autograph. And speaking of which, Ron, you recently had a little, powwow with a young lady who read your books, and you, I guess, autographed 3, 4, 5, 6 copies for her. And you guys finally met, and you both enjoyed the experience. And how did that go? And what's it like when you meet a fan of yours who previously only knew you in a virtual fashion?
Yeah, well, we also talked on Facebook Messenger, but I never spoke to her directly. Yeah, this is, her name is Martha, and she and her husband came to South Florida to see her stepfather. And she lived in Maryland, but she just moved to Pennsylvania recently. But she wanted to meet me, and I said, fine. So we had 2 hours together. And it's really funny because her husband, was very friendly too, but he was so funny. He said after about a half an hour, he said, my gosh, it's like you've known each other for your whole life. And so he said, I'm going to leave you lovebirds alone. And he walked out for half an hour. It was so funny, and we all laughed about it. But anyway, it was a very nice experience. And what happened is she didn't know me, but she had, just by coincidence, in the fall of 2015, watching C-SPAN. And she said she always thought of C-SPAN as boring. But she was watching C-SPAN one Sunday evening, and I was on with my interview with Brian Lamb about my book. It had just come out. And she said, she listened, and she looked at me, and she's like, God, this guy's from New York, and he's so dynamic and all that. So she really got interested, and then she wrote me on Facebook saying, I want to buy copies, blah, blah, blah. And that's how we became, friends of each other, but never actually met or talked on the phone until this case. But so now we'll keep in
touch.
That
was kind
more.
Of exciting.
Very nice experience.
You think she's
it is exciting.
You think she's going to sell your autographs? Do they have any value, or just the old sentimental value, as they say?
Well, the reason she bought 4 copies is because she has different relatives that she wanted to give it to. So I was stunned. I've never had anybody buy 4 copies. But this 8 years later, we suddenly meet, but we really get along very well. And it's almost as if I've known her my whole life, and she felt the same. Sometimes you just connect with some people when you meet them. It's just strange how that is.
What will happen when you and I meet? That'll really be one for the ages. I think we're going to sell tickets for that.
Well, we've seen each other on video, though. We've seen each other on Skype or on Zoom, right? So we have seen each other.
Not
in person, no.
Didn't your screen break the last time that I appeared on the screen live? Didn't quite do that, did it? But whenever that does occur, it'll be an experience for the ages, and I might even sell tickets and have standing room only. Dr. Ron Fineman is an author of a book that we kind of implied about presidential assassinations. He regularly contributes to History News Network and sometimes MSNBC and whatever else. Plus, he's on with us from time to time.
Actually, not MSNBC. I don't believe in making
their own truth.
No, I've never been, I wish I was on MSNBC, but no. No, but I've been on C-SPAN a couple of times, yes.
Yeah, I confuse those letters. They kind of confuse me. You know, with me nearing this milestone birthday, maybe I'm just getting confused over C-SPAN, CNN, yeah. MSNBC, ABC, DEFG. One of them, though. Yes, it was C-SPAN.
Yeah.
And that video is available if you do look a bit on the internet. It's well worth your time. Dr. Feynman also writes the blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com, where he talks about politics, sometimes from a left-leaning perspective, and sometimes it's just historical, not really political. But you can tell he is of the Democratic persuasion. So that always keeps things fun with me being the big libertarian-leaning independent. And we do encourage you to read that blog daily. Usually doesn't take more than 2 or 3 minutes to digest, unless you're a very, very slow reader. TheProgressiveProfessor.com. Good stuff for you, and you might even learn something. And most importantly, you are likely to giggle a few times after reading one or two entries. Now, last week, last time we got together, Ron, it was so much to talk about. We didn't even really cover any of your blogs directly about Donald Trump, about our person we mutually admire that we recently lost at too young of an age, Mr. Mike Purdy, and his great book about presidential insults. And of course, we talked about.
I still mourn his death even now. I still mourn his death today. It's, you know, I only met him once also, just like I only met Martha once so far. Hopefully, I'm going to meet her a number of times. But it's strange how some people you just connect with, and Mike Purdy was great. He really was. He was quite an accomplished author.
You know, we always really talk about the orange skinned one, and will he be wearing an orange jumpsuit? That certainly has been fodder for much social media. We do want to say a happy birthday to a former First Lady, 96 years old, if I'm not mistaken, Rosalynn Carter.
Yes.
Or is it Rosalynn? Yeah. I've heard both. So happy birthday.
I think it's Rosalynn, actually. I think it is, yeah.
Happy birthday, dear Rosalynn. Happy birthday to you.
Yeah, that's an interesting story. Do you realize they first met when Rosalynn was a few days old? Because it was Lillian Carter, Ms. Lillian, who delivered her. She was a nurse, and then introduced her to her almost 3-year-old son. Isn't that interesting?
That would be, that certainly is called, almost like going around in a circle. She delivers the baby, and the baby ends up being married to her son. That is a fascinating story.
The future. Yes. Now, of course, they didn't know, they didn't deal with each other that age very much, but they actually met after only a few days of their whole life. They had been in contact. I think it's hilarious.
Knowing each other for almost 100 years, that's quite an accomplishment. Scott, on his show, Ron, has been talking a lot about people getting married 3-4 times, and should there be a waiting period? Should there be restrictions if you're someone who's, you know, you've heard of professional students, right? There are people who are like professional spouses.
Yes.
And should there be a waiting period?
People.
And, you know, should you try to work things out? My parents were divorced 15 years and 1 week after they got married. My sister recently celebrated her 20th anniversary, and that is her second husband.
Oh, okay.
Her first husband.
Oh, I didn't realize it was second husband.
Yeah, first husband, a few years. He has passed away. Second husband, though, Steve, going strong. You know, my nephew, my goodness, he's just started college. That's totally crazy, but I'm sure
he's 18,
will.
Huh?
I'm sure he will be 18 very shortly, yes. So,
well, congratulate the family for me. You know, really, that's
saw
great.
All the photos I posted, so. Family is important, no matter what stage in life you are. But, you know, should, as Scott has said, Ron, should people have a waiting period? Should they think twice if they're getting married so many times they need both hands to count? You know, Jimmy Carter, Rosalynn Carter.
Hollywood people get married a lot of times automatically.
Yeah.
You know,
about them. What I generally say, and I think everybody agrees, Jimmy Carter, nice guy. Weak president, I would say that he was. He was certainly someone you'd want to have over to socialize, feel like you're talking to a regular person. Carter also, a lot more intelligent than some people might think that he is. You've posted about Carter as well as Clinton and somewhat to some extent Obama also, some of our most intelligent recent presidents. And so,
along with Jefferson and John Quincy Adams. The earlier ones.
Carter has emerged as the elder statesman in his later years. He is at home hospice care, but he is pushing 100 years old. So
he'll be 99 on October 1. I'm praying he makes it to 99, you know.
Yeah, I don't.
And I have to say, some people I know, I hate to say it, it's not nice to say it, say they hope that Trump passes away before Carter.
What I do
I
know,
if
again,
if he did pass away, it would, yeah, it would solve a nightmare of Trump if he wasn't available to run. That would, I'm not wishing that, but I'm saying some people have actually said that. That they like,
I mean,
to see
someone
Carter
has lost both
them.
Parents, and both passed away very, very suddenly. Every day you wake up is a blessing. It's not a religious
yes,
statement. I'm not
right,
a religious person, and you're not religious, Ron. But every day
no,
you wake up, be thankful, because many other people
yes, oh, I am,
don't have that same luck. And
yeah,
with Jimmy Carter, you don't know. He's obviously a fighter. He has old-fashioned values. And Rosalynn Carter, in early stage Alzheimer's, but they're still able to enjoy each other's company. And again,
yeah, they spend hours together. And also, I've read that Jimmy Carter still is mentally alert and intellectual, keeping up. It's just physically he's very weak. So he's amazing. He really is.
Yeah, I could see Jimmy Carter out there working in his peanut farm, working in Sunday school, building houses. The guy doesn't want to give up, and that's good. There's absolutely no reason to. It doesn't matter if you're 29 or 99.
Supposedly the reason he wanted to be in hospice is he didn't want to be in a hospital. He wanted to be home with his wife to the last minute. He wanted to share the time together, which is so wonderful to hear.
Yeah, Jimmy Carter, just a throwback in many ways, and Ronald Reagan being the first divorced president, I believe, and of course Donald Trump
yes,
had two previous spouses. You know, divorce is acceptable, but does it reflect on your character? I mean, Reagan being an actor, you know, how many times was Elizabeth Taylor married? 9, 10, 11, right? So
nine. Yeah, actually, so, I want to bring up that there's three candidates for president who lost who were divorced. John McCain was married twice. Bob Dole was married twice. And John Kerry was married twice. But they all, and also yeah, Adlai Stevenson was now twice, but he was divorced. So those yeah, are people,
I mean,
who ran for president. Yeah.
Something that we don't really seem to mind. I mean, Donald Trump, again, regardless of how you think about the guy.
He has three marriages.
Yeah,
though.
I mean, he was a show business president. We know the guy was a bit out there, and that could be good, that could be bad. And cross over into politics from show business, just like Ronald Reagan. And people have said, yes, Schwarzenegger, if he were not someone who was born in Europe, or if they were to change the law, he would run for president. He probably would win. I mean, he certainly had no problem winning the president
years ago, yeah,
governorship, yeah, well, governorship of California. It's almost like it's a separate country, so it's almost like it's a presidency. But in that case, where he not seem to be quite as bothered by this anymore. And we look at the character of the man or woman that we're voting for the presidency or governorship or mayor of a large city, yeah, or some other office, and we take into account many, many different things. And I think Obama, yeah, also a throwback to someone who appears to be happily married to his soulmate with a family,
yes,
and they're all very close. So,
yes,
obviously,
yeah,
there
I wanted to mention Texas and California. You know, it could be separate nations. They're so, you know, they're so gigantic. And actually, I have to say, Florida could be a separate nation because nobody seems to want our governor on the national level. But Florida, for some crazy reason, loves this man. But Florida, you know, is so like almost like an outlier to some extent the way it's going now.
Yeah, just some
much
states
more red
they,
than, you know,
almost
you
seem
know,
like you're in a foreign country. And I certainly Texas and California. There are people in Texas who think they're in a foreign country. And I guess from a sentimental level, for some people, they very well might be. Whereas other states kind of seems like they are definitely part of the union, and that's the diversity of this great country is one of the many, many things that makes it such a great place to be, and where we're proud to be part,
yes,
of this country, even if we don't always agree on things, even if we don't like the particular people in charge. Certainly with the Biden administration, Ron, his family has been a subject of much controversy, especially his son Hunter and the laptop and using of substances that may or may not be legal, etc. So that's something.
Yeah, that's a tragic story because Beau Biden is the golden boy and he died. And I think Hunter always felt, even when his brother was alive, that he could never match up to his brother. I really think it's a psychological thing because Beau was a star and Hunter was always, I think, a problem even way back. So it's a sad story, really. You know?
Yeah, and that will certainly be a topic of debates both, I think, the Democratic primary debates coming up. RFK Jr., certainly somebody with a very well-known family, and I think he will have a few things to say to Joe Biden about his family and vice versa. And when the main presidential debates take place, whoever will be the people involved, would seem like it'll be...
Well, one thing I'll say is that I don't think RFK Jr. would say anything about Hunter Biden, because RFK Jr. has had his own drug and alcohol problems over the years, and he sounds like a weirdo when you watch him and listen to him. I don't think he's someone who would bring up Hunter Biden. That would not be a smart thing.
Well, that's where it's going to get really juicy, where if you'd agree, Ron, if RFK Jr. talks about Hunter Biden, Joe Biden will come back and say, well, sounds like maybe you're describing yourself. Well, that'll certainly yes. be a fascinating...
Yes.
A fascinating discourse, to say the least. And
yes.
We have the young, self-made gentleman, Mr. Vivek Ramaswamy, who would like to be Republican nominee for president.
He's an arrogant piece of, I won't say what, but you know what I'm getting at. He's not qualified, but he's also saying already now he would pardon Trump on day one without even knowing what's going to happen. That's so reckless. And he talks about 25-year-old, that people, the voting age should go up to 25 because young people don't vote. What kind of a crazy comment is that?
It'll certainly be fodder for debates, won't it? So I guarantee you folks, with the first debates coming up actually rather soon, and
Wednesday.
Really,
yes.
Really gearing into action next year. Once again, I say it's a good time to be involved in politics as a observer, participant, and to be on the radio talk show. If you're out of things to talk about, then you obviously aren't paying much attention. So Ron Fineman here with me on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, and we discussed the blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com. I guess, by the way, before we discuss that, Ron, your teaching gig at Florida Atlantic, when does that begin, or did it already begin?
It begins on Tuesday, my U.S. presidency course, and I'm
okay,
excited.
Good time.
I'm very excited. And it's the 52nd year I'll be in the classroom.
My goodness, 52 years. And I would imagine...
Well, starting, because June 72 I started. So, now I'm the 52nd year as I start this fall. June will be 52 years finished. And I always start the course recently by saying, I started teaching when Nixon was in trouble, and now I'm still teaching, and Trump's in trouble. They always laugh, because it's true.
comes around, goes around, right?
Yes.
I would think again.
But then
again,
I also say Nixon looks like a choir boy by comparison.
With all that's going on, I would expect a lot of interest in the class, and hopefully you will have an overflow of students, and they'll be...
Well, 35. The maximum is 35. I have 35 students. Yes.
Excellent. Well, sounds like it'll be fun. You better get rested up for the teaching, because I think it'll be good. And you'll learn. You always learn something too, because the students have ideas from a different generation, and everybody feeds off everybody else. So, in your blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com, recent entry, Sunday, the 20th of August, the Midwest and Pennsylvania, the fulcrum of the presidential election of 2024. This would be an example of a blog to let folks know that really isn't slanted politically one way or the other. You're not saying Democrats are better. You're not saying this candidate stinks, this candidate's great. You're just talking about the fact, something we already know, Ohio, Illinois, Michigan, Minnesota, and Wisconsin are the states likely to have a big hand, if not the majority of a hand, in deciding who will be sitting in the Oval Office. And Pennsylvania also is a biggie. So we have our Ohio and two states that border Ohio. Kentucky, we love the state, but it's very Republican, probably not going to have a tremendous influence. Illinois, Chicago is over 80% Democratic, and I just was researching that, whereas downstate Illinois, not surprisingly, which doesn't, outside of the Chicago suburb, doesn't have any major cities, would certainly tend to lean in the Republican direction. Wisconsin kind of swings back and forth. Michigan, Detroit certainly would be heavily Democratic. They have a rather liberal governor. But again, in some areas, it may be a bit different. So that would explain, obviously, why certain states, especially those here in the heartland of the U.S. of A., would have that tremendous influence. One thing about Ohio is, we know, Ron, if you win Ohio, people kind of assume that you win the presidency. But in 2020, that did not happen.
Historically, it was definitely a path break. Ohio determined the election, but lately things have gone right. Even Missouri used to be predictable, you know, and almost every time the way they went is the way the election went. But a couple of times now, last few times, it hasn't happened. So Ohio and Missouri are less reliable now, I guess I'd say.
So yeah, Ohio may be losing influence. I mean, who knows? But certainly it's important.
Well, it's losing electoral votes. Yeah. That's the one problem. The Midwest is losing electoral votes. All of the states, all those six, are losing electoral votes because more and more it's the Sun Belt that dominates. People are moving,
So, it's important to win any state. I mean, maybe not.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not Wyoming. I don't want to insult any of our great states because they're all important, but I would certainly say even the most proud Wyomingans, that's whatever they're called, would agree that winning Ohio is much more important than winning Wyoming, Montana, or the Dakotas, or Joe Biden's home state of Delaware.
Or Alaska.
Yeah, Alaska, and many of those states, too. You don't even have to. Why even bother having an election? Because they're going to vote one way or the other when it comes to the cowboy states. They certainly are heavily Republican. Rhode Island, not the greatest state out there, but very likely to vote Democratic. But it's still important to vote anyway because things can turn. And Ohio too. You never quite know. There was a surprise in 2020. Donald Trump did not win the election, but he did win Ohio. In fact, I think he won Ohio by more than I thought he would. Bottom line is,
but Ohio now went for indicated they were in favor of abortion rights indirectly by that recent vote that the state had. So now the thought is the Democrats could win Ohio on that issue in 2024.
Yeah. So bottom line is, folks, your vote does count, and sometimes there are eye openers, there are surprises, and something tells me whatever people think is going to happen in 2024. Probably isn't. I mean, Joe Biden will be in his mid-80s if he were to win.
Well, early re-election. Don't say mid.
Well, re-election, when he finishes office, he'd be 85.
Yeah, then he'll be in mid-80s. Yeah. But Sherrod Brown, I think, is hopeful after what happened with the Ohio vote a week ago that he will be able to get re-elected. He's the only statewide Democratic office holder, and he's very popular, but it's going to be a tough race for re-election.
Yeah, it's. And, of course, we'll be hearing all those obnoxious political ads soon, so if it's not obvious that it's going to be a big and heavily fought race, well, it will be very soon once your radio and other forms of media get flooded with these ads that really get annoying after the first five times you hear them every hour. This comes up a lot, Ron. Joe Biden's mental capacity. He is in his early 80s. Does he or does he not have early stage Alzheimer's? Does he have good faculties? And you've said,
I would say yes.
Clearly, yes, he is older. He's not the 40-year-old Joe Biden from his earlier political days, but he has all of his faculties and is making great decisions. And in fact, you're considering him one of the best presidents in recent memory.
In domestic particularly, but also in foreign, because now with this recent summit at Camp David with South Korea and Japan, it's solidifying our relationship with those two important nations, as well as NATO has been restored after Trump harmed it. So I really think even in foreign affairs, but particularly in domestic, he's accomplished more than anybody since LBJ. Not as much, but I'm saying considering the division in Congress, he's actually accomplished quite a bit and has had some bipartisan support on the infrastructure and other bills. So it's not just Democrats. So he has been successful, but the ones who were against the infrastructure now are claiming credit, the Republicans in their districts, as if they had voted for it, but they didn't. So it's hypocrisy.
So when an opponent, Ron, be it the RFK Jr. or some other Democratic challenger or whoever the Republican nominee is for the big presidential debates, when that person says, well, Joe, since Donald Trump called him Joe, we'll just call him Joe here. Or however you refer to Mr. Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., current president of the United States of America. You say, well, inflation's out of control. Groceries, housing, the homeless problems in L.A. and San Francisco and New York and many other large cities, gas prices through the roof. And as Harry Truman said, the buck stops here. We're not saying the president sets gas prices, doesn't set grocery prices, but certainly the president's policies have a lot to do with it. I fully agree with Truman. What should Biden say, Ron, when, and you know it's going to happen, what should he say if RFK or Trump or whoever it is debating says that to him.
Well, he's not going to be debating RFK. He will not go into any Democratic debates with her, with him, or Marianne Williamson. They're both loonies. I'm sorry. Marianne Williamson proved she was loony in 2020. There's no way that he's going to debate them. Of course, he'll have to debate Trump, I guess, but who says Trump is good in a debate? Trump is always ranting and raving. He doesn't make a lot of sense. And I want to point out Joe Biden has verbal gaps. Yes. He had verbal gaps 40 years ago. That's one of his limitations. He messes up sometimes. We all do, but he just gets noticed because he's in a high office. But his verbal gaps are nothing new. But it's still, he gets the job done, and he has good people around him. And a lot of it is that. And Truman was seen as incompetent in 1948, and look what happened. He gave the Republicans hell, as they say, and he came back and won an upset victory. And I think that's going to happen with Biden, especially if Trump is the candidate.
So there will be some verbal punches thrown for sure. But
oh,
is there something that Biden should say? I mean, even you know, Ron, you have a car. You know what gas costs. You know what groceries cost. You know they...
Well, actually, inflation, it's high, but it's gone down. And this is not something he caused or anybody caused. It's the circumstances. But it has come down, the inflation rate. So, of course, it's still too high, and gas and food is expensive. But it's going to, I think, get better as time goes by. And basically, when people vote, they don't vote how they think now. They'll think how they vote September of next year. So it doesn't really matter in the long run what people think at the moment. It's how it is in a year. So if it's in a year it's not better, then he has problems. But again, his alternative, Trump, has no chance, I think, to win. And he might not even be eligible to be president. And there are constitutional scholars who are conservatives, I'm not talking about liberals, who say, the 14th Amendment, Section 3, is a justification that he cannot run because he was involved in promoting insurrection and rebellion, and that's what happened after the Civil War, and that can be applied, and conservatives are saying that. At this point, it's not just liberals, so I think that's something to keep in mind. So I'm not sure he's even going to be eligible. I will say this, though. Who is the most difficult candidate for Biden at this point? Chris Christie. If he could, he's not going to be the nominee, but if he was, and he was the prosecutor, he would be a tough opponent if he was the final candidate against Biden. That would be tough. I really think Chris Christie would be the best, but apparently he has no chance.
Now, Donald Trump recently commenting about Chris Christie not exactly getting ready for the Mr. America contest. And, of course, Donald Trump not a very good physical specimen himself, but Christie certainly not known as someone with a svelte figure, so to speak.
Actually, 20 years ago, he was slim at the time that he got the conviction of Jared Kushner's father and sent him to prison. I've seen pictures of him in 2005. I said, that's him? So he has had a problem in the last 20 years or so, but he was not that way back then. But the point is, I wouldn't say Trump is someone who should be saying something like that with his own weight issue. And one thing about Joe Biden, he stays slim and he bikes. You know, he has his faults. He's not perfect, but he's still in pretty damn good shape physically, as far as we can see, much better than Trump by far, or certainly than Christie. But Christie is a real good debater. I mean, Christie would be a tough opponent, you know, if he was the nominee. But it looks like no chance, of that happening.
Sounds like it's front row tickets will be a good thing to have there. Entertaining and a few giggles and quite possibly sway some people's opinions. Adam here on The Talking Place with Dr. Ron Fineman discussing politics, Donnie Baby, Joseph Robinette Biden II, I believe that's the full name of our president, and a few other interesting individuals. On your blog, Ron, theprogressiveprofessor.com, Mill of the Month, you wrote, time to bar Donald Trump from state ballots under 14th Amendment Section 3. And I understand what you're saying, and again, this isn't really a slanted entry, you're just stating the fact. What is the chance this is going to happen? What's the chance that Donald Trump will be declared ineligible? Is that really something that can happen?
Well, I don't know what the odds are, but these constitutional scholars who are much more significant than myself, they're saying it could be done. And the one thing is, it's in the power of state legislatures and state secretaries of state to decide who goes on the ballot. So therefore, in theory, if blue states, particularly because I guess the red states wouldn't do it, if their state secretaries of state and their legislatures say, we don't want to have him on the ballot, then if he could not be on the ballot in states like California, New York, Illinois, Pennsylvania, and Michigan, he couldn't get enough electoral votes no matter what. And then, of course, someone says, well, what if the red states took Biden off? They have no justification. He did not promote insurrection. You can't withdraw somebody because you don't like him. But if you have someone who's waged insurrection, the blue states, some of them, the big ones at least, could remove him, and then he could never get enough electoral votes. So I think there's a good chance that's what's going to happen, but I can't be sure. However, I will point out, and I think you may have noticed it on Facebook, that a few days ago, you know, every day they tell you what you wrote years ago on Facebook, and I was a little surprised myself to discover that back in 18, I had projected that Biden would be the nominee with Harris, of all people, and look what happened. I was right.
Successfully predicted the
future. I was surprised,
you know. Who needs Kreskin? And other people have been in our programs and talked about the future, talked about what will happen in the next several years. Dr. Feynman predicts it all. And I think you made a
funny.
Safe...
I was right in 2018 when I said, Harris, of all people, I said, would be the running man that'd win.
I mean, you made a safe choice. And at that point, I felt that was certainly a reasonable prognostication. And sure enough, you are right. So cool beans, as they say. Earlier in the month, Ron, you discussed your own anniversary, 15-year anniversary of the Progressive Professor. Over 7,800 entries have been published in 22,922 comments. And we've asked you this before, but when you started doing the Progressive Professor blog, did you really think that 15 years after you first laid pen to paper, or probably finger to keyboard, that the political climate would be as crazy as it is now, that we were looking possibly to put the most recent former president behind bars. We'd have a president over 80 years old. We'd have the first female and non-white vice president. Did you really think it would have changed so much from 15 years ago when you started writing the blog?
It's hard to say, but I started the blog just as Obama was the nominee for president and was trying to figure out who to pick. And even on that, at the beginning, I had Joe Biden as one of the finalists, but I think if I'm correct, I did not pick him as the running mate. I think I thought that he was one of the finalists, but I was not sure he'd be the actual candidate. But I would just say it's been an interesting 15 years, and if somebody had said you're going to be doing this regularly for 15 years, I would have said, nah, it won't happen. But I am glad to say I've been able to do it. I've been in good health, thank God, and I continue to want to do it as long as I'm able and functioning to do so, because I enjoy expressing myself. And I think, along with teaching and lecturing, it keeps my mind active, and I think that hopefully holds off dementia.
And never quite know, and who knows, in 15 years from now, hopefully you'll still be writing your blog.
Well, I don't know about that.
May even be crazier than it is now.
Then.
Well, that's okay.
Mid-90s, I don't know. But then Jimmy Carter still is, I guess you never know. That's right.
Don't know, and I certainly will not look forward to the day when the blog ends. I enjoy reading it every day. I may not agree with it, but I learn something. I often laugh, and gives me fodder to talk about, not to mention things to talk about on this program. Adam here with Dr. Ron Feynman on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Once again, we ask, it seems like every time we get together, there's another set of indictments against, Sam Donaldson calls him, Donald J. Trump, as I call him, the orange-skinned one who might be in an orange jumpsuit. So what is the deal? Are they going to keep dragging this on and on and on and on? And 10 years from now, he'll have his 147th set of indictments, but he still is a free man. Is something going to happen? Will there be closure? Is he going to go to prison? Is he going to get barred from being president? It seems like it's... It's dragging on and on in a circus. What's going to be the bottom line here?
I think he'll be barred from running, ultimately. But as far as the indictments, I think the one to fear for his viewpoint is Georgia. Because if he's convicted then, you got to realize there are 91 indictments. And that means four juries, because there's four cases, you know, different levels. That's 48 jurors, 12 per case. Now, of course, you get one juror in each case to doubt, he's fine. But if you get one jury to do it out of the four, you don't have to have all four, and if it's in Georgia, he cannot be pardoned by himself or anybody else or by the governor of Georgia. He has to go to prison. That's not necessarily true with the federal level if he was convicted and pardoned by a future president or even by Joe Biden, maybe. I don't know if he would do that. Maybe he would if he got reelected. Who knows? I can't imagine that. But point is, Georgia, you cannot get away. It's a state case, and if he's convicted there, he's in real trouble. So I think there's a good chance that before that happens, he might very well die of the stress, because honestly, it's stressful what he's going through. I'm not sympathetic, but I mean, I wouldn't want to deal with what he has to deal with. And he has some such bills to deal with. And here he is, Rudy Giuliani, who sacrificed himself, and now he can't even pay his bills, and he's not going to get help from, you know. And the fact is, Trump is not a person who cares about anybody but himself. So it's a sad situation that we're in, and it's scary to the world to think this guy could be back and attack NATO, because he doesn't like NATO, and become a real menace in international affairs if he got elected. But there's no chance I can think that he could be elected. Joe has faults, Joe Biden, but he has done enough that I still think he will get a second term. And I just want to bring in, which you have not yet mentioned, I do a defense, which I'm sure you're not that thrilled by, of Kamala Harris on August 12th and her future role in American government, because I think a lot of it with her is because she's a woman and she's a person of minority background. But I think she's done a good job. She plays the role of vice president the way it's supposed to be, not to be dominating and getting attention. But I think if she ended up in the White House, if she did, you know, by succession, it wouldn't be the end of the world. If it was 2028, I wouldn't necessarily choose her as my first choice. But if she gets into office by succession, so what? But I mean, when Nikki Haley, who I know you like, comes out and says Joe Biden's going to die, that's not something you say. I can say Donald Trump's going to die, but it's not appropriate, and I think she's certainly qualified.
Well, we shall see. Whatever happens, it'll be a well-publicized race with a lot of punches thrown, of verbal punches thrown, and no doubt a surprise or two. Adam here, winding down our visit. Yep. As my mama always said, time flies when you're having fun. And once again, we're pleased to welcome Dr. Feinman to our microphones, and always interesting food for thought. We do encourage you to follow him on Facebook, as well as get his book about presidential assassinations and follow all that stuff on social media, not to mention, well, it used to be called Twitter, now it's called X, so whatever it's called now,
yeah.
Under Polit Hist, P-O-L-I-T-H-I-S-T. I guess, by the way, we haven't discussed this yet, Ron, with Elon Musk buying a sizable stake in Twitter, and now changing it to X with a different logo, and they got rid of the bird. What do you think of all that?
I think he's a moron. I don't mean literally, I mean stupid. I think he's just a nutcase. And he is an example of an arrogant person who has too much money and doesn't care how he looks to other people. He's really a robber baron, equivalent of the 19th century, like Rockefeller and Carnegie. And I wish he was not in control of media, but can't do anything about it, you know. But I am on Twitter, however. I don't really do many original things, but I share things about the presidents and about baseball and things like that, and also my blog entries. So actually, you know, some people might be surprised. I look now and I see that actually I have, what is it now? I have a total of 39,200 posts since 2010. I've actually had a lot, 39.2K posts, you know. Imagine that.
Quite a few. So
yeah, but most of it's just sharing things about presidents, you know, other people's things. That's what I'm saying, except for my blog. So it's just I'm sharing whatever I find about presidents, you know. So,
I wasn't sure exactly how you would phrase saying that you post to X, because you can't see a tweet because it's not called Twitter anymore. Do you X or do you Ek? I really don't quite...
It's still called Twitter. Well, actually, maybe it says Twitter.com I'm listed under.
Yeah, don't quite understand, but that's a part of the exciting and changeable, unpredictable landscape of our social media here in, well, goodness sakes, it's almost 2024 in the great world that we live in. So we talk.
And by the way, 170 years of the Republican Party next year. This is a turning point for the Republican Party. 1854, started in Michigan and Wisconsin, and now 170 years later going to have their convention in Milwaukee, having this debate in Milwaukee, and the Democrats in Chicago. So that's why I said the Midwest is really central, but the Republican Party is at a crossroads. Is it going to allow Trump to destroy them further, or they're going to move on? That's going to be interesting to see.
It certainly has changed a bit from the days of Honest Abe and Theodore Roosevelt.
And Ike, also Eisenhower, put it
mildly. You wrote a week or so ago, Ron, about, again, your governor, whom you are not a fan of by any means, Mr. Ron DeSantis. rise and fall of Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, the new Scott Walker. Now, you mentioned he is popular in your state, not among, with you, but other Floridians, but not really popular in the United States. And why do you think that is? Now, Florida, again, is a big state, almost like a separate country, like we talked about with Texas and California. But why is it that, well, your opinion is not really the majority there in Florida?
Because even Republicans don't like him as a person. He's not a person who does the political stuff that you have to do. He doesn't know how to really get warm and fuzzy with people, and he really doesn't. He comes across as unpleasant, arrogant, nasty, mean-spirited, and he also, if you ask him a question like an NBC News correspondent, a woman asked him a question, and his eyes, like, you could see glowing, like the nerve of you to ask me. You could just see his arrogance. It's just something about the man and his voice. He's annoying. He's not a pleasant person, you know. He's someone, and I think you have to feel that it's someone who cares about you and me. And he comes across as only caring about himself and his wife. That's just the way he comes across, at least to me. Now, Florida is different. I don't know why. Maybe because of wealth. Wealthy people and retired people who look at, although I'm retired, but I mean, I'm not typical of my age group, but I don't think there's no chance, because even in the state legislature, a lot of them went along with him on the horrible bills he got done on history and sexuality and everything else, but a lot of them don't feel comfortable around him. They don't like him. He's not a friendly guy. He doesn't know how to talk to voters in Iowa or New Hampshire either. He's just not a nice person. Even Trump, as horrible as he is more engaging. You can at least find him interesting. I don't think DeSantis is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, say what you want about Donald Trump, and almost, you know, ironically, like Jimmy Carter, he does kind of seem like a regular guy. Now, we understand he's had this glamorous life, been a TV star, married to these famous and, you know, sometimes beautiful women. Certainly as a character, everybody has heard of him. Everybody knows who he is, generally what he's done, has an opinion. But I guess he does seem more approachable, someone you would at least say hi to if you saw him, even if you were his biggest detractor. But you're kind of saying that DeSantis does seem distant, and that's not a quality we want as president, especially in this social media age.
Yeah, they even show him laughing in Iowa. It looks like a phony laugh. It's just, he seems so unnatural, you know? He's just not a nice person. I don't know what he's like at home. I think his wife probably bosses him around, I have a feeling. She seems very powerful. But even she comes across as not as distant as him. There's something about his personality. I'm not sure what it is, but he's an unpleasant person. And the one thing that's good is in 2026, the second term ends, and he cannot run for a third term. The state constitution limits you to two terms. Have to leave. You can come back later, but you have to be gone. So he will definitely be out, and he'll have no job. Not that he needs a job, but I'm saying he won't be able to be a senator, because Scott's seat is coming up next year, and Rubio's is safe to 28. So he can still run for office, but he'll be out of office at the end of 2026, and it can't be soon enough, in my opinion, because he's caused a great harm, I think, in the state of Florida. I'm sorry. That's the way I look at it.
Bottom line is, we'll find out about how charming the guy is when we have the debates. And that,
yeah, I'd like to imagine Christie doing well in that debate, but he probably won't go up at the polls, because I think he's really the best of the bad lot. You know, I would vote for him, but he's the best of a bad lot, you know, I think.
Well, we shall see. Certainly, the political landscape in its current form, as I said, great fodder for talk shows, media, gossip, and these debates should certainly be something that will keep people glued to their watching, viewing, and maybe taping devices. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place. Thank you again, Dr. Ron Feinman, for being with us.
Thanks so much. Had a great time.
We covered about 10% of what we wanted to, but that's okay. We'll keep everybody hungry for more. And I'm sure next episode will be even juicier than this one, as we will have already had one of the debates and be heading toward end of summer. Goodness sakes, holiday season coming up, and who knows? More.
And Trump will be booked on Friday, the latest. He'll be booked and have his mug shot. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, more juicy stuff with Donald Trump for sure. And that, if there's ever a lack of things to talk about, usually there isn't. That would certainly be something in the juicy, interesting, and controversial category. Once again, please follow Dr.
Finally about Trump. Yep. Yeah, I'm sorry. One more thing. It then also, one thing about Trump, he'll never be forgotten. Whatever happens in his future, he will always be in the front of news in history and everything. And that's, of course, something I think he loves, that he'll never be forgotten. Because when you're president, you're never forgotten.
I would certainly say that much. And so on that note, again, I invite people to follow Dr. Ron Fineman and his blog, The Progressive Professor, on Facebook, on X or Twitter or whatever it's called, under POLITHIST. And last but not least, if you have a question, comment, suggestion, or complaint about my program, I'd love to hear from you. Adam at WWGH1071.com.